Podcasts, the latest frontier. These are the voyages of the Green Shirt Crew.
Hi!
Hey, everybody.
Guys, please.
Their continuing mission, to watch the next generation for the first time.
The second, actually.
Third.
To seek out old mistakes.
Hey.
And continuity errors.
Guys, stop it right now.
To boldly go where millions of fans have gone before. This week's episode, The Icarus Factor.
I do some acting occasionally, which means I go on auditions like once a month and then get like one job every year and a half or so.
Nice.
I did Portlandia. I got to be in one scene from Portlandia where it's about harvesting beards for the, and turning them into children's toys.
I love that episode.
And I'm with Mitch Hurwitz and
Natasha
Lyonne in that, and that was fun.
Okay.
But the important part is that I also auditioned several times for the show Leverage, which shoots here in Portland, or shot here in Portland, which during the audition process I got to meet in one episode, was directed by Frank Oz. I walked into an audition, like, not knowing until I left that it was Frank Oz.
Wow.
The voice of Miss Piggy and Yoda. And then another time I walk in and it's director is Jonathan Frakes.
Whoa.
Star Trek's own. He plays one of the characters.
One of them? Is he like just one of the background guys?
No. He's in almost every episode.
Huh.
Plays William Kirk. Nope, that's not it. Riker. Oh,
John
yeah.
T. Riker.
Yeah.
John T. Riker.
There was a little holdup. I had to wait for some technical reason. And the one thing I learned from him, he said something kind of non sequitur that LeVar Burton would use the color purple to highlight his scripts. So I know a little fun fact that's of very little consequence. So
nice.
Cool.
But hey, you know, speaking of Jonathan Frakes, I understand we're about to talk about an episode.
Wait.
Let's try.
Thank you for that transition, Rob. Welcome, everyone, to Green Shirt. I am Cameron, just a wee lad stumbling my way through my first experiences with the next generation. But here, holding my hand like a couple of proud parents, we got Big Daddy Rob.
Hey, it's me.
And Mama Marcy.
Oh, yeah.
Go to your room.
Watching Star Trek and do your homework.
Today we've got a special guest appearance beaming on board. It's not one of our real life fathers. That would have been a little apropos. Oh,
that'd be cool.
But it's fan and friend, John T. Bolds.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Good to be in Portland. Good to be hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I live in Utah, but I work in Alaska.
Oh. It's a commute.
It is.
Thanks for coming all the way.
Absolutely.
For this podcast.
So you've listened to a lot of our podcasts.
I've listened to every episode.
Hey, thank you. So you're the one.
Wow. Yes.
I don't know if we've talked about it directly, but you, whenever we talk, you seem to have a pretty good knowledge of Star Trek.
Yes. I watched TNG when it was on originally when I was a kid. My sister and I would watch it, and I don't necessarily remember these early episodes. I was pretty young, but going back, it's like, oh yeah, I've seen these. And then BBC shows them all the time, so I usually switch off Fox News to Star Trek when I'm at work and nobody else is in the lunchroom.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, this week we watched The Icarus Factor, which has more subplots than you can shake a pain stick at.
Can we start with this week in misleading Netflix still images?
Yeah.
I feel like more and more I'm noticing that the Netflix image that sells the episode is not necessarily what I expect at all. This one has Riker dressed in a red battle suit.
I know.
So I'm thinking, oh, there's like, looks like American Gladiators. Let's find out everybody's American Gladiator name. But no, that's like very little part of the episode, so...
Yeah, there's only three subplots, to be fair, which is only like one more than usual. But just the fact that they don't interact at all... just made it feel like a very busy episode.
It was an extremely busy episode.
And nothing happened.
Yeah, that's true.
It was fun. I liked this
episode. We're going to have some fun talking about it then. speaking of which, because there are so many of us and so many episodes, I think we should just hammer it one subplot at a time.
Agreed.
So let's start with the anomalous readouts in the warp engine core room.
Yeah.
Can someone tell me what's going on here?
Well, let's play the very first, like, 45 seconds in... clip here.
Don't worry, Data. My ego isn't at stake here.
Really? When someone says that, you know it absolutely is at stake.
Right.
It's totally at stake. So what's happening here?
I work
in an industrial facility, and what they're saying to me is, we're running normally, but things are just looking just a tiny bit off, which if I'm sitting in the control room at work, it's like, okay, there's an alarm here, but it's not really a meaningful alarm. And alarm management in the future is something, a completely different nerdy episode to have. But
alarm management.
Yes, that is a thing that I deal with in real life. Alarm rationalization and management is an entire industry.
Oh, gosh. Let's not go there. Okay. No.
So what they're saying is, okay, we've tried fixing this and we've tried fixing this. Let's call in the people who, I don't know, built the ship or are trained to work on it. So it's like calling in an overhaul crew for one of our compressors. We don't fix that. We call in the people who do that all the time.
Right. But Data has a suggestion early on that turns out to be the final solution.
Yes.
And what is that?
It's basically like, hey, call the automations guy and see if the numbers in the computer got off a little bit. That's like, I think the readouts are just wrong. I think it's an instrumentation problem,
right,
not an actual problem.
I mean, it sounds like they're saying, Let's just make it so it doesn't tell us there's a problem.
Yes,
absolutely. Which sounds like a terrible idea. That sounds like the Trump administration's solution to global
warming. It does sound like a terrible thing, but sometimes... Like,
but they didn't actually find anything wrong.
There's obviously a glitch somewhere, though.
But like,
it's not just ignore it.
Yeah, the glitch is, this time it's just in what's telling you.
That could spiral into something.
It could. It's called normalization of deviation.
Think of it this way. We're doing a remodel on our basement. So I have to get, like, all the skinny every Friday. Like, what do I have to tell the inspector? And this time it was about readings for our underfloor heating. And it's supposed to standardize at this number, but they used a particular instrument, and I used a particular instrument. But the numbers aren't exactly the same, but they're within an acceptable range, and we're using different instruments. That's why the numbers are different.
All right. I'm outnumbered.
Sounds like John is an expert in this situation, and it's on the smallest part of the episode.
I know.
He's bringing a special guest to really delve in.
Guys, I'm out of here.
I gotta go to work.
Well, maybe he also has a struggling relationship with his father, so we'll find out that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's been through a rite of ascension and gotten pain stick 10 times in the torso.
Turns out he's...
Yeah. I think all of us probably grew up with a pain stick somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. So Jordy says that, you know, his ego's not at stake. I believed him at first, so I was kind of confused when in future scenes he starts going like, gosh, these guys, it's like their hands are digging through my underwear. What's going on? I feel so violated. And Data keeps trying to like, man, I would be offended.
If I were not a consummate professional and an android, I would find this entire procedure insulting.
Data is doing what we call stirring the pot. I'd be insulted. Oh, Data is absolutely stirring the pot. And Jordy is just being spun up by Data like crazy. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm seeing where the arc is coming from.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like this.
It's like, Data, shut up.
Well, I thought of this episode very much about, like, it's all about family, right? And even in these scenes, it's like, Jordy's feeling insecure, and Data is trying to, like, back him up and let him know that, I got your back, buddy, like, you're right, but you're absolutely right. In that context, in a workplace context, it's kind of fucked, but, like, and Jordy's being, like, but he's always whiny. Like, whenever, you know, whenever he answers the comm, he's like, what do you want?
He's a beta, not like me.
Not like Alpha Greaser over there. Well, this is, like, the first time he's ever had anybody else in engineering, if you've noticed. Like, remember other episodes? He's like all alone down there, and now there's like a million civilian coveralled engineers.
So maybe he's feeling a little suffocated. He wants to get out of there.
Yeah.
Kind of speaking of that, and O'Brien in that last clip, like O'Brien is everywhere in this episode.
Oh yeah,
he's just got his fingers in all the pots.
I would say the redeeming quality for me of this episode is that it's O'Brien is now a character in.
We're gonna get more to it, but he's quickly becoming my favorite.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Ever since the pluck a pigeon comment.
That began the snowball. And speaking of which, O'Brien does answer a very important question that I've been wondering about the future. Thank God scuttlebutt is still in use.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I forgot what that means.
That phrase has legs. That survived the apocalypse.
Well, and in this episode especially, that is entirely true. Because later on, it's like, how do other people know what is going on right now? But everybody knows everything on in this episode.
The scuttlebutt is a muck.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I see. I remember now. And it's just general chit-chat, general chatter about things. Well, I thought it was his cute nickname for the captain. Scuttlebutt came, told me.
Yeah, but this is like the first episode where you actually get to see what would really be happening on the Enterprise.
That's
because
true.
There's going to be rumor mills. You're going to be talking people talking about you. Did you hear? Ooh. Wesley walking down the hall. Did you hear what happened? Riker's got a captainship. You know, like, everybody knows everything suddenly, you know, and that's how things happen when you're in a workplace.
I didn't have anything specifically wrong with the subplot. Like, it gave some good interactions between our characters. It's just the other two plots are so important and character heavy that to take away from them for this thing seemed like an odd choice to me. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the B plot then, unless we want anything else anomalous readings.
No, I had a few little things.
Tidy up.
Geordi accuses Wes. Wes comes in with a problem. He accuses him of overreacting. I thought it was funny that it was next to a reactor.
Worth it. That was worth it, Rob. Thank you. What else you got?
Let's see.
Well, I think Geordi shouldn't be mad at the people coming in. He should be mad at laissez-faire Picard. Because Picard's like the one, it's not a problem. We'll just do it so we can stay here longer for Riker. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, no,
Picard doesn't give a shit about... And Geordi's like shitting his pants over this. And Picard's like, whatever.
And this whole episode, he doesn't care about anything.
No, he doesn't.
Except one guy who can speak 40 languages. Whose babies he wants to have right now.
I think that's it for the Geordi subplot. That subplot ties in together with the Worf subplot.
Worf, did you hear about Commander Riker's promotion?
Yes.
He didn't know his father was coming. He was completely surprised.
So?
Can you imagine if it was your father?
I never knew my father.
And I didn't have a father long enough to know him.
Just orphan card right there. So,
the pace, tone, it's all off.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
It's
I would watch
so
it.
Because
fun.
I have long defended Wesley. I like Wesley.
That
seems
was
like
his
this
best acting.
So no. Well,
it's such
acting
a strange delivery.
14-year-old
yeah, exactly.
On a functioning starship.
I was like,
he is an
finally.
Ensign.
Wesley is a real kid.
But to be fair, the criticism I just had for all the rumor mill did start this plot.
This is it.
Wesley is rumor milling right now and scuttlebutting like
and
crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, I love it. I'm like, I love that he cares enough. Like, he's being kind of like that teenager that, the one that actually wants to get approval from the adults, mm-hmm. you know?
Why does he keep trying Worf, though? He's like, he asks Worf for dating advice. He asks, he want, like, you really think Worf
he
is going to give a shit?
He doesn't have a dad, okay?
Why, but it's weird they chose Worf to be his fake father.
That's the other thing, too, is, like, he's pestering Worf about Riker's dad being on board, and then, like, he doesn't have a dad, and Worf gets mad. And so I was immediately like, Worf's got daddy issues. This is a daddy issue situation. And everyone's like, what could it be? What's bothering Worf? And I'm like, it's fucking daddy issues, guys. It's going to be daddy issues. It's not daddy issues, spoiler alert. But I just think that's what people should have been expecting.
Mm-hmm. And then this segues into Worf comes to talk to Riker later on, mm-hmm. asking about moving on to a different ship with him to die gloriously. Yeah. Like, yeah. Wow, what is this mission?
Well, we're going to get into it, but yeah, this shit Riker's going on is that this is some dangerous shit. Everyone is assuming he's going to die. It is a suicide mission.
They don't assume he's going to die. I mean, they just are saying that it's dangerous and far away.
Worf assumes he's going to die. His dad is like, you know, I wanted to come say this just in case. Well, you know, I don't want to say it. I forget what they say, but he's implying that, like, it's
I wasn't sure
be
if he was implying that it was dangerous or that it was just really far away.
Oh, maybe.
Because I went back and forth on that. At first, I thought it was dangerous.
It did
and then
come
I,
like
yeah, it is. I think Picard is saying, like, you can either be here where the action is, but be a, you know, second place, or you can be a captain of a really boring mission.
Right.
That's what it seemed to be. It was either boring,
right,
or in charge, but so which was funny. Why when Worf said, "I want something with action," I'm like, "Have you watched this show? Like every week, you're almost dying. Like you're on a ship where you could die."
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like if this other ship is so dangerous, like how dangerous is it? Because the Enterprise is in constant danger.
I think Worf heard the wrong scuttlebutt about whether or not about the danger involved in this other mission.
Fair. Before that scene, though, is when Wes comes and brings this this information to Geordi and Data. I know you guys are busy, but gee, Worf seems really upset.
Discretion will be required.
Agreed. When do we start?
We will assist you as needed. You found the problem, and you must solve it.
No, check out the hook when my DJ revolves it. Ice, ice, baby.
You see
anyone else
you
think that at that line? Not just me? Okay.
I totally agree with
that. Anytime
them,
I hear you just have to solve it, follow it up with some Vanilla Ice lyrics.
I will now.
Absolutely.
There,
well,
I've done
no,
my
I
job.
Think it's a good learning moment for Wesley, but does Geordi have to use that tone?
Geordi is a bigot. He has some Klingon hang-ups.
Ari's just afraid of Worf. That's well, everything's
like, gee, eccentric's one word for it. Or like, I want to keep him on his good side. And then later he's like, I don't know how I feel about bringing Klingons on board.
Yeah.
Sorry, you are in alliance with the Klingons. Yeah,
that line, I was like, whoa, dang.
Well, yeah, that proves that I'm not a bigot. I'm friends with a Klingon.
Almost some of my best friends are Klingons.
So they end up in like 10 Ford, and there's a really cute line that happens.
You know, Wesley should really be doing this on his own.
But he needs his study time.
I can't believe you fell for that.
That was like a heartstrings moment for
really?
Me.
Really? That's heartstrings?
Yeah, it's so adorable.
I fully admit it took me a second to figure out what they were talking about.
But, like, he totally pulled one over on Data, and Geordi's like, you're such a pushover. I love it.
I just thought it was awkward because literally the previous scene was the scene that we just heard where they're like, you got to solve it. And then the next scene is like, well, he tricked us. We'll do it.
this 12-hour layover at Starbase Montgomery is just full of bored people doing bored things. Like, you guys have time to do everything. And Wesley is not studying.
Is he masturbating?
Yes, absolutely.
He's hacked into Riker's heart porn.
Yes,
Riker's not watching it right now.
So I think if Wes is doing homework, he's got a problem, yo, he'll solve it. I'm sorry. That's a bad callback.
There is a random scene. I kind of want to start. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
We're already melting down. What's going to happen in 30 minutes?
Tell me when I mumble the joke that I'm really not proud of it.
Yeah, but it was the best one of the day.
Jeez. So then is this where they discover the problem? Is this?
The Age of Ascension!
The Age of Ascension!
The Age of Ascension.
Age of Ascension.
Which is basically a Klingon bar mitzvah, if I understand. Is that right?
It pretty much seems like that.
That would entail the use of Klingon pain sticks.
Pain sticks?
Pain sticks.
Sounds lovely.
With a K.
Enduring physical suffering is considered a Klingon spiritual test.
I mean, in order for Worf to celebrate the anniversary of this ascension, he has to be hurt, and we have to witness this.
We are his family.
Again, Geordi just sounds so judgmental about everything Klingon.
Yeah.
And I will say, again, Deep Space Nine sort of does this same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, if you don't know, Worf and O'Brien are both characters on Deep Space Nine.
What?
And they do it so much better in that episode. I'm like, I can see.
So.
Yeah, they do it so much better in that episode. Like, okay, yes, yeah. Everything that is.
They do all the Klingon stuff way better.
Yes, yeah. But, I mean, it's like.
That is the problem. They're figuring out all the Klingon stuff as they go with Next Generation.
Yeah.
They even give Wesley the line, like, well, we're not Klingons. Like, yeah, okay. Good, that's true. good point, Wesley.
It would have been awesome if they were the ones like hitting him with the pain sticks.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so sorry.
Cheap like plastic Halloween Klingon mask from the 80s. Hey, how is this, Worf?
We're ready.
We love you, Worf.
I got a pain stick.
So you just hold it until he stops moving,
so
right?
So you put it right on your dick, right?
Worf is like, I'm so turned on right now.
How much pee does he need to pee before we're done?
What's their safe word?
But they tell everyone about this. And Troy, who's like terrible at keeping secrets, takes Worf to his Klingon pain party. And then she makes a beeline out of there like, I am not going to be part of
that. Can you imagine an empath being part
true.
Of that?
That's fair.
I'm feeling his pain! She's also like pissing herself on the ground.
And then Worf and her make eyes, and he's like, yes, you understand.
Oh, you wait for it, Cam.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What? What?
Troy does seem to, like, sort of like, oh, it's cute. I'm sending him in there to get tortured. She's just kind of like, oh, no, I'm not going. Don't be silly. Don't be silly.
Have fun with that.
I did kind of wish,
she
like,
some good stuff in this episode.
When the doors opened, which I still, to this day, I hate the holodeck, but I love whenever the holodeck doors open and there's some cool set behind it. When those open and Worf steps in and everyone's like, happy ascension day. They don't say that, but he takes everything in.
Surprise!
And Worf's like, oh no. Oh no, no, no. This is not what I want. No! I was just sad because my favorite soap opera was canceled. I do not want the pain sticks. You know those two?
He just like runs out of the
holiday. Have you heard what they do to yak heads?
You mean erectine monopod, you guys.
Thank you, Rob. I did forget to write down that.
Spelled rectine, but
those are Klingon pain sticks.
With a K.
I once saw one of them used against a 2-ton rectine monopod.
Poor creature jumped 5 meters at the slightest touch. Finally died from excessive cephalic pressures.
He is milking this.
You mean, that's right. The animal's head exploded like
I think that's enough, Chief O'Brien.
Like, what has O'Brien been doing with his life?
I know, like, suddenly O'Brien becomes this mysterious... right? Awesome character who did all kinds of shit that we don't know about.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's one of the coolest characters in Star Trek.
Because he's a consummate professional. He's really good at his job. Like, we've seen him in briefing scenes where he's the only one who knows what's going on. But on his off time, he's plucking pigeons and gambling and watching domesticated aliens' heads explode for fun.
Do you think this Rectine monopod was being tortured because of some space, like Edison, who was like trying to prove that his electricity
power is better than
yeah. This is what the competitor came
it's
up
better
with.
Better than dilithium crystals.
Well, if that's true, that means that there's a space Tesla out there too. Ooh, which just sounds awesome.
No? Oh Jesus!
Wait, there is a space Tesla in space right now, actually.
True. Oh, yeah. Why did he say excessive cephalic pressures instead of just saying like? And then his head fucking blew up.
Because he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, true.
He was building him up.
Who speaks like that, though? Come on.
Yeah. Because we haven't really seen O'Brien interact with Worf. I don't think he was there to support his buddy. He was there like, I want to see some fucking pain stick action. Yeah. It's been too long.
It might come from his wartime history, too.
Okay.
There is that.
And so then we're in the actual ceremony itself, yes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Worf seems excited. He's got an erection, probably. He's like, oh, boy. And then his Klingon poetry I wrote down because I thought it was fun. Today I am a warrior. I must show you my heart. I travel the river of blood. Which is like, I imagine him writing that as a teenager on like his emo diary. Just like, oh, I'm a warrior. I travel a river of blood.
Those are his lyrics.
Those were his most profound feelings. This is what I love about the Klingons, though. Like, earlier he was saying that, you know, we read love poetry to our women. Like, I like this idea of them being, like, the only way for them to express their, like, love feelings is to be incredibly violent at
it's
the
like,
same time.
You know, spiritual warriors, though.
Yeah.
So he's admitting these things under duress. Uh-huh. And he admits his feelings only when under pain. And this ties into Riker and his father also later.
Yes.
Only admitting their feelings while they're inflicting pain on one another.
Uh-huh.
And Pulaski's one of her many hypocrisies in this episode. Must we resort to the barbaric physical conflict?
True.
Okay, I'll stand there and watch you get tortured walking down this.
She
like,
did
well,
make
to be
an
fair,
attempt to go towards
yeah, she was
him.
The one yeah. who like was not happy about being there, to be fair.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. She was not happy to be there. So, like, I hope I don't have to patch him up, basically, after his... It's like, you are the doctor.
Is this the first episode where you realize that the holodeck can be used as a terrible, terrible weapon?
No, we've realized that this time already, like, Marcy.
Well, but, like... I know that it's happened a lot, but this is the first time where you realize, like, you can basically just have, like, a pain stick created in holodeck and kill. You can kill people with bullets. You can do all. Everything is real in the holodeck.
Yeah. Yes. Turn off the safeties and, like.
Bam! Okay. Yeah. Pain stick. Right in the dick.
That would be funny. Just, like, halfway through the ceremony, you just hear Worf go, not there!
I'm done. I'm out.
And then he crawls like back. He's 3/4 of the way through, but he crawls backwards through. And then he goes, turns around. He just gets totally disoriented. He's just stuck in the middle.
He's crawling.
No. Pulaski tries to go to him, and Wesley's like, no. No.
He has to get through this. Yeah.
He wants this. Yeah.
I read his diary entries on the computer. Please, I don't want this.
And O'Brien's just like, come on. Explode.
Bryce just in the corner jerking.
Sorry, Rob.
Meanwhile, Jordy's just like turned into like reruns of My Little Pony in his visor. I can't take it. I need something happier. Do you think Jordy can just watch stuff in his visor?
Man.
I know for a fact, again, anytime you have technology attached to you, I found out my uncle on his. Hearing aids will just turn on the Bluetooth and listen to music. And it's like during conversations, it's like, dude, completely defeating the purpose.
Well, there's also that theory that like all technology will eventually get used for porn.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Geordi is just like.
That's why he's so like upset all the time. It's because he's been up all night long watching porn.
Never gets any sleep.
What music do you think he's listening to? Like System of a Down or like something just like...
I can see that. I can see System of a Down.
You're talking and he just hears like Glenn Miller. Oh, no.
Did you bring some sound clips? Yeah. You gotta get the rights for that now, John.
They played that a lot in Fairbanks.
My wife did walk in during the torture scene and was like... She just humors me with the Star Trek stuff. And earlier, she saw me watching the Troy Riker scene that we'll talk about later.
Did you say
she
caught you watching?
Yes,
she walked in.
Your pants were down, and you're like, oh.
She watched. She was watching it with me for a second, and I had to explain. Wait. She's like, this is bad. I was like, well, I like saw her watching. And I'm like, this isn't how most episodes go. They're not all soap operas. But then she walked back during the Worf scene, and she was really worried about Worf. Oh. So she ran the gamut on feelings.
So he gets through the ceremony, and he's sitting laying there recovering. He says thank you to everybody.
On the ground.
And they don't do anything. They just stand there.
I know.
Yeah, I know, like, help your buddy up.
We've done the pee the pants joke already, but just cut back to him in like a beat, and then you just see Wesley's uniform get darker down the lane. That was way more intense than I was expecting.
You shit themselves.
I am so sorry.
We
I suggested this, guys.
Uniform, sorry.
Plus, he's like, I told you so, and just walks out.
God.
Anything else on the Worf subplot?
I think we pretty much covered that.
All right. Well, let's rewind things back to the original scene. So yes, at the end of the opening scene where we learn about the anomalous readouts, Picard then turns to Riker and goes, I want to see you in my briefing room. And I bet at first he was like, oh God, I'm going to get dressed down because my communicator edge is on sideways.
Was it on sideways?
Yeah, only because I like happened to freeze frame that scene. It's totally just hanging limp on his shirt. I'll screen cap it and put it on so people can see. But yeah,
that's like, awesome.
Dress down for dress him down.
I don't think Riker smiles a single time in this episode. Because like even at the beginning, he's like kind of being a jerk to Geordi. Mm-hmm. And like...
I didn't know we were going to Starbase Montgomery.
Yeah, exactly.
That wasn't on the itinerary.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Picard is doing heavy, and Picard is doing heavy trolling on Riker. He knows. He has read the entire book of the Riker family history. He's like, oh, I'm going to have fun with this.
I'm surprised
he didn't go to the transporter room to watch.
He was up in the bridge, like everyone around. They all have popcorn.
Main viewer.
Picard, as he's walking away to get into the turbo lift.
Thank you,
as he's walking away to get into the turbo lift, he goes, enjoy.
Oh yeah.
What was gonna happen? What if Picard was the one that machinated this whole thing? What if he was like, bring his dad on because he knew Riker?
To keep Riker on.
To get Riker to work through those issues because he knows they're a big deal to him.
And that's why later on he's like, wait for the show because
that would have been a good episode.
Yeah. And he's like, the coolest person is the nerd who speaks 40 languages. Doesn't he sound so awesome? You can have a second command like you, but no, you have a guy who just knows language.
That is an understatement, number one. The last time I saw Commander Flaherty, he spoke 40 languages. As I recall, among the more exotic were Romulan, Klingon, Guillemon, Stroyarian.
He speaks 40 languages?
He has this unique ability of instantaneously interpreting and extrapolating any verbal communication that he hears. You will find him very useful in Sector Vega Omicron.
Though he was telling him that because he's like, you're on the ship full of the cool ass bitches and you're gonna go on to the Ares.
But to be fair, it was Riker who brought him up because he's like, I have a question about this guy. He's a cunning linguist? What does that mean? Is that what I think it means?
Wait, he just speaks all languages.
Oh, damn, okay. I just thought that Patrick Stewart was when he was like, Guillemon?
Stroyarian?
I just thought Patrick Stewart was so excited for remembering the fucking names and pronouncing them right. Because he takes the beat and is like, what's the fucking next one? Stroyarian? Yeah. I nailed it!
It is the only emotion he shows in the entire episode. He's talking about
Picard?
This. Yeah.
Oh, no. He does some good stuff later when he's like, talking to Rick. He's like, shh.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
good
that's
to
true.
Be captain.
That's true.
I want to ask at the end of this episode what everyone thinks he was doing with his 12 hours of free time. Because it wasn't involved with any of these plots.
he was spreading all the rumors.
Yeah. Like I said, Captain was Scuttlebutt.
Yes.
He was the
yes, Scuttlebutt. Absolutely.
So I did get the clip, manual docking, confidently achieved. Oh, does anyone want to make a joke on that one?
I had that highlighted.
And a manual docking, confidently achieved.
That never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
Gross.
Immediately, we should say, like, Riker does not seem like he wants this captainship. He wants to be a captain. We've always heard, and he gets this
the
news.
The look
like,
he gives him when he learns that he might be captain is like,
he immediately knows where it is. So yeah, you know he's following the list of upcoming retirements. Like he is
got a death chart,
but he's like, oh.
Would you like to know about the actor that plays Riker's father?
Ah, yes.
It's like a shallow dive into IMDb. That's Mitchell Ryan. The trivia is three children.
Those were his accomplishments.
My parents have three children too.
Mitchell Ryan,
we
recognize.
So
I recognize a lot of things with Mitchell Ryan. Grosse Pointe Blank. He's the father of Mini Driver. He was Dharma and Greg. I remembered him.
All right, that's where I recognize him from.
He's in Judge Dredd, the original, the Stallone Judge Dredd.
Yep.
Weren't we all?
He's in a lot of stuff.
I remembered him from Grosse Pointe Blank because I love the line. So what do you do? Professional hitman, huh? It's a growth industry.
Yes, some of the best. Yes, I love that movie. And that's Mitchell. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Papa Riker beams on board, and we learn it's been 15 years since they've spoken, and young Riker is not taken kindly to that.
Look, in his defense, there's no rule book about fatherhood that says you should speak to your son more than every 15 years. There's no manual.
Especially after you've given him 13 years.
That's right. And that was hard enough.
I raised you for a whole 13 years. Set you on
that
your
wasn't
own.
Enough,
and you
Mom.
Know that Riker ran away at 15, so his mom died at 2.
Yeah.
Oh.
I wonder he's if barely out of diapers.
I wonder if that'll hold up on the wiki.
He's
later
doing better than my kid.
Timeline.
Trey, start using the potty. This podcast is just going to be a chronicle.
Remember,
of my son's potty.
You only have what 9 more years you owe him,
and then
boogie on out.
I gave you my life, 13 years, right? Then I went on to do amazing things, like endo jutsu. I beat a 12-year-old at Ambo Jitsu.
Well, he does not forget, like, the 12-year-old was able to beat him unless he cheated.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're not really not good at Ambo Jitsu.
Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, no, Riker gives him the cold shoulder with a send-off.
If you'll excuse me, I've got my duties to attend to.
Ah, son, I remember when I used to attend to your duties. Father, I am a grown man and a first officer on the Starship Enterprise. I don't need you attending my duties. O'Brien teleports them out for me now, so there.
But now we can get to the part where they're in 10 forward with O'Brien.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love that they're talking, and O'Brien spends the next couple scenes staring behind his seat, just staring at what's happening. Pretty. Yes.
Well, yeah, so Daddy Riker comes in, and he knows everyone, Daddy as Riker. We said. Especially, who does he know?
Fucking Pulaski.
Fucking Pulaski.
Yeah.
How about a drink?
How about a kiss?
Well, geez, Pulaski, we are 10 forward, aren't we? Hey!
Happy
birthday, guys. 10 forward, am I right? 10 forward.
Gross, she fucking makes out with his dad in front of him, and she didn't even tell them that she knew him.
She doesn't know he was there.
It's a little kiss.
Is she not allowed to kiss an old flame?
She flat out lied to him last episode. Oh, I didn't know your father didn't know how to cook. Well, yeah, you did, because he made you plenty of food after all the sex you had. You know, it's obvious.
Oh, I recognize the shitty egg recipe. Your dad
just sitting there getting turned on at that breakfast, like Pavlovian response to this bad food.
She just like orgasms at the table.
She didn't make out.
I know. I'm just being a jerk about it because I don't like Pulaski. I mean, it's fine. They do a little kiss. And kind of, at first, I was like, oh, this is the most likable she's ever been, is when she's with Kyle Riker.
I want to hear John's takedown of her, because I kind of liked her this episode.
Okay. So, my takedown of Pulaski.
Oh, well, there was that
one. She flat out lied to Riker last time, and then she later on says...
Wait, what'd she say last time?
Well, when he's cooking the breakfast, she's like, oh, or something about...
Like,
I mean, the thing I caught is he comes over and he's like, "I didn't know you knew him," and she's like, "Well, it never came up."
She
and like
was,
that fucking yeah, came up last
she was,
week.
Yeah, exactly. She was at that breakfast last week. Didn't even mention.
Time.
Oh yeah, I know you're. Yeah, it's
like if she had said something like, you know, a woman's got to keep her secrets, or like,
right,
or and she could have said something about like, I don't
business.
Have to tell you everything. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Anything, but no, just pretended not to know him at all.
Which I mean, just a quick interjection. I do love that they planted the seeds. The space seeds for this episode last week with that breakfast and Riker talking about his dad. But then, yeah, Tijin just like flip it on her and ignore that ever happened.
Yes.
I think she just didn't want to be like, yeah, I used to fuck your dad. Like, I understand her not. Or like, yeah, I'm your new mom. Like, I don't, I think it didn't come up because she didn't want it to come up. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't fault her for
and
that.
I think that's fine. It's just weird that she phrased it that
yes.
way.
But to me, that's like the least of her sins
sure.
in this episode. So later on, she's talking to Will about how she met Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on a station or on an outpost that gets attacked, and he's the only one who survives to have, and he's
like,
the only one who had the will to survive. And it's like, you
Will
were the doctor. What you just admitted to is that you let the entire rest of the outpost population die under your treatment. It's not, no. Those people died not because they got shot in an attack. It's because they didn't have the will to hold on. And certainly not because they had a terrible doctor who doesn't care about, oh,
amen,
I don't know.
Yeah. Amen, John.
Like, hey, if I were to walk into a hospital today and say, what's wrong with that guy? Do you think they would tell me what's wrong with him and what his treatment is? Because she will? Is there a HIPAA violation?
Absolutely. Once again, people are just wandering into that day.
He just got that Andorian flu
here. Yeah.
What's
it got like 16 cases of STDs. Yeah. Let me tell you, each person he fucked to get one, too. I know everyone's medical history.
I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt. She just...
Well,
and plus the fact that she is in love with a man like Kyle Riker.
Also the scene... with Deanna, where she totally blows over the fact that she totally disrespected Deanna the last episode.
But that does lead into, I think, my only scene that I'm happy with in this storyline, the conversation between Kyle and Deanna, because he shoots back just as hard as she does. But it also means he has followed his son's life so closely that he knows exactly who Deanna is
and what
their relationship used to be.
Because it gives Troy like a rare moment of like a feminism, basically.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, I love this scene because it's like, okay, I hear I'm about to tell you how you're wrong about your son. I was like, I'm about to tell you how you're wrong about my son, and just pushes right back. I was like, okay, good for you.
That's a good scene. Yeah, what he says something about like we both have great. He's basically trying to like charm her over, and she just gives him like a withering fucking stare that like immediately brings down his facade.
But then he's like, oh, okay, it's getting
it's
real.
On.
I will bring it right back to you too. I'm like, oh, good for both of you.
Yeah, but I love that scene because that's the very first scene that we actually see Deanna doing her job as a counselor.
That's what I'm here for.
Other than like the time travelers, cryogenic people from way back when.
Yeah.
But like in this scene, she's in the power position behind the desk, and he's like trying to stand over her, and like she does a really good job of making him examine his emotions and why he's there.
Yeah.
And that's her job. Finally, she's doing it, and she's doing it well.
You know? And it's fun because the control of the conversation keeps transferring back and forth. Like, oh man, that was actually a well-acted, well-written scene.
You know what kind of guy Kyle Riker is? He's a finger tinter.
He's a hand ringer and a finger tinter all the time. I will say, Future Valdez looks badass.
my hometown has changed.
The
mountains behind it were, I'm almost sure, were Anchorage. They looked like the Chugach Range.
And like the...
And the town just looked like they took like a picture of Las Vegas now and superimposed it in front of the Chugach Range.
Like
Alaska nerds. Oh. The worst.
But yeah, I was like, whoa, Valdez.
You got awesome.
You got a boom going.
And then you get to the next one. It's like, wow, Photoshop, you got better in the next 20.
Not Photoshop. I feel like that was their father-son trip to Sears, to the Sears photograph. Because that's what the backdrop looked like to me.
I did like the... Oh, well, there's one time where he comes to him and says, it's time to talk, so you need to lower your shields.
Oh, yeah.
And another, I think maybe it's Troy that says, when you move, or somebody tells him when you move on to the next ship, I hope you jettison your emotional baggage.
Yeah, that's Pulaski. Oh, yeah, that's
Pulaski says that. So those are both like
modern references, finally. Yeah. Instead of like, they did make a couple of like, what are you trying to be, the mayor? She says to him, and I was like, oh, come on. There's not mayors in the future.
They don't have mayors anymore. Going back to what we talked about, Worf wanted to join Riker, and I do love that in another timeline, there's like an HBO spinoff of Riker and Worf fucking and fighting their way through Omicron Vega. I'd watch that show.
And Flaherty.
Who would play Flaherty?
Oh, man. David Cross.
I was going to say...
that would be good.
I was going to say the dude from Princess Bride, Sean.
Sean, Wallace Shawn.
Wallace Shawn. Oh, yeah, he's also very...
Anyone watch Eastbound and Down? Stevie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
During one of their conversations, because this has to be mentioned, I think this is a good transition into it, Kyle Riker, Daddy Riker, says this.
I know, keeping in touch is not my strong suit.
Yeah, well, that weird wool jumpsuit you're wearing is also not your strong suit, Kyle. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
What is he? How did he get any women, let alone multiple women, wearing shit like that?
It's the cardigan sweater of uniforms.
No, that is that actually, I think, is more of a testament to how good of a contractor and how good he is at his jobs. He's so popular. People know him everywhere. Like, I know guys like this up at work. Like, you are a total mess, but... please give me more of your information, so because you are so good at your job. Okay. It's intimidating to be in the room with you.
Well, I got the impression that they were trying to show that he is as likable as Riker is. Mm-hmm. And that Riker, in fact, has gotten a lot of his traits from his father.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to.
They're both really Rikeable. Sorry?
You are the pun assured. Call back to something from off the air.
Yeah. Inside jokes are awesome.
So can we get to Onbo Jutsu now?
Well, Riker does consult with the captain like two more times, or at least one more time, to come ask more questions about what it would be like and just get more input.
Well, yeah, so we have definitely seen that Riker is not interested in this captainship. And he comes in, he's like, I'd be a fucking fool to take this, wouldn't I?
But it will be your ship, and... being who you are, it will soon be vibrant with your authority, your style, your vision.
Hearts, as far as the eye can see.
I want somebody to tell me, instead of, like, to be quiet, that you're vibrant with your, like...
vibrancy. Just like, use the word vibrant.
Yeah, use vibrant in
I'm
a word
related to
me. I'm getting
vibrations from you that are vibrant.
Marcy, be quiet.
I will call you the vibrator. How about that, Marcy? From now on, I'm just going to call you the vibrator. Yes, that's a new nickname. Okay. You just asked me to. I'm only complying with your wishes, vibrator.
No.
What?
Vibrant.
What's the problem?
A vibrantor.
Yes. You are one who puts your vibrance out, making you a vibrator. Oh, vibrator. Oh.
You're ruining it.
I'm going to call you vibrantor. Like a vibrant monster.
Actually, I do like that way. When you add the antor to the end, I'm okay with it.
No, you're right. That's a very nice thing to say to someone.
Yeah.
All Picard is saying is, like, I know that ship is soon just going to be filled with, like, crushed velvet paintings of half-naked women.
Playing harps. Playing harps.
Every crewman must have a beard. Everyone.
All chairs must be just below crotch height. Yeah.
I did like this scene a lot. I did think Picard was like, he's like torn. He's like, yeah, I can understand you wanting to go on getting your own thing, but I miss you. Like, these are all undertones in the conversation. And I do like his little hush, his little, shh, don't tell anyone.
There really is no substitute for holding the reins.
Are we still talking about starships? Or is this a sex thing? Or did you also want to be a cowboy? I'm getting lost in the metaphors, Picard.
He's actually dressed in a cowboy suit because he just came out of the holodeck.
That would be great. Every scene, like, Picard was wearing a different outfit. Like, he was just doing holodeck adventures the whole time. Oh, why did they do that?
Yeah, of course. That's where he was. He was lurking the whole time.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
Well, I thought the conversation between Deanna and Pulaski before they actually do the fight is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, the women are powwowing about the dad and the father that they both love or loved. Neither one of them is actually in a relationship with them anymore. And so why they're so super invested is a little bit
weird. It's like this conversation is almost passing the Bechdel test, but then it's not. But then it almost is, but then it's not. Like
then at the end when Deanna's like, "Well, that's why we love him so much, because they're man children. That's why you love them."
Well, like if this was this episode's like take on father-son relationships, way to go for the low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, dads never want their sons to grow up, and sons are always resenting their dads. Okay, and?
Yeah,
right.
Tell us something that
every human being does not know. Can we open that door? That's what the episode's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I trust Star Trek to open that door. And,
and effectively handle it.
Right. The discussions of gender were, you know, like, they took a couple swings, maybe a couple misses.
Right.
And to hammer home this point one more time, was it Kyle or Will who walked out of that private room where they challenged each other to a fight and said, "We're having an ambo-jitsu fight. Spread the word to everybody on the ship."
It was Picard. Picard is listening in.
He's the whole thing. He does. It has to be Picard.
Oh, like, man.
How did that, like, all of a sudden everybody knows about this? Like,
I love the idea, though, of it not being private, that they had, like, everybody on the ship was there, like, betting against who's going to win.
Like,
like
the guys in Caddyshack.
That exactly.
There's definitely a pool of their holodeck tokens.
O'Brien was the, like, ringmaster.
So before we get into the fight, I do have a little bit of quiz about terrible TV and movie fathers. And I tried to put some fighting in there as well. So there's three questions to this quiz. Each one has five clues. I think the clues get more and more obvious. So the sooner you guys figure it out, the more, you know, meaningless points you get. And then there is a bonus question. All right, the first one is a movie. Clue number one. I'm extremely, extremely emotionally distant from my kids, especially since their mom died.
Star Trek The Next Generation, The Icarus Factor?
Good guess.
Clue number two. I know my wife loved me, which was a problem. And that the last time I saw her, she looked super hot.
Is it Blue Valentine?
No.
What Dreams May Come?
No. Closer than Blue Valentine, though. Okay. All right. Clue number three. I practice and use the ultimate form of fighting, based on statistics, probability, and bullshit.
Star Trek, The Next Generation, The Icarus Factor.
Sherlock?
No. I used to have a partner, but he just got too damn emotional to do the job.
I know I'm going to hate myself.
His wife loved him. That was a problem. His partner got too damn emotional to do the job.
Is this Mel Gibson? No. Lethal Weapon?
No. All right, the last one. That freaking dog causing all these issues.
Hooch?
Hmm? No.
Canine?
Beethoven.
Oh, man. Oh. No.
This is the comic strip Marmaduke.
Oh, is this John Wick?
You're the closest. No. This is before John Wick.
But it's Keanu Reeves?
No.
Hudson Hawk.
All right. This is the classic sci-fi early 2000s movie Equilibrium.
Oh, wow.
It's been so long since I've seen that.
Yeah. I knew that was a deep cut. So
that's got the gunfu where they
do the gunfu.
Yeah, I remember like the...
Right.
Like I said,
and that's
based
a problem.
On bullshit. Yep.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember the emotions. A dog in it, though.
Yeah, he finds a dog and that's where he starts to get all emotional.
Too far
in
the future.
Yeah. All right, this next one is a TV show. This is more on the terrible father versus fighter spectrum.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I even like being a father, but my four adult kids have definitely brought together since I got in a little trouble.
Arrested Development.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
Not going to stump me on that one.
Clue two was, never one to fight myself. I certainly did enjoy provoking the boys to fight when they were younger. So. All right. This is another movie, another deep cut. When everything went to hell, my wife and I were separated from the kids and trapped in a hopeless place.
Not bad.
All right, clue number two. I abandoned my wife when times got tough, but it was for the kids, I swear.
Not the Netflix Lost in Space.
No.
Good, but that's all applies so far.
Okay, I've not seen that yet.
All
right, number three. Once the kids and I were reunited, I started to have rage issues. I blame my wife.
I know this.
Yeah.
I don't know it. I don't know it, but I know it.
Number four. I used to run from my problems, but now I fight extremely violently.
It's not True Lies.
John I used Wick. To have rage issues.
28 days later? 28 months later? 28 months later.
28 weeks later.
Yeah.
Hey. Months.
Okay. And for the bonus. I was an excellent fighter when my son was young, but one little mistake means I was separated a world away from him
Lionheart?
When he was growing up. No?
Damn it.
But impressive.
Yeah. Number two, the boy idolized me. I'm pretty sure he took the same career path I did.
Karate
pretty
Kid.
Sure.
No? This is a TV show.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
The boy idolized me.
Number three, these Russians keep asking me all these questions. It's like they're constantly tormenting my son with little hints that I'm alive.
Not Die Hard, then.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
Number four, I hope he never gets hurt. I'm sure the service will have another section he can use his daring and tenacity in.
Is this something I don't watch, like Blacklist or...
This is my little dig at all of you.
Oh, is it Jag? Damn it!
Anyway.
Nice.
Here's the final clue. Following in his father's footsteps as a naval aviator, Lieutenant Commander Harmon Lamb Jr.
suffered a crash while landing his Tomcat on a storm. I did not realize the show was so involved. I thought it was just procedural.
It was. It was procedural, but no, there was a long overarching... his dad is a POW in Vietnam, and is he alive or isn't? It takes like seven seasons.
Wait, was he alive? Does he find him?
No.
He was dead, wasn't he?
He was dead, but he...
played. I thought for sure you were going to have one of those Game of Thrones, but...
I thought about it, but I'm like, I want to go a little more esoteric. Yeah. So Equilibrium it was.
Jag, you asshole. Well, Jag, I was going to ask everyone, you know, our community question this week was, what did you do to annoy your parents, or what did they do that annoyed you?
I used to, like, have an incredibly high-pitched scream, and I had two older brothers, so, like, anytime I would be, like, they would mess with me, I'd just be like, ah! And my parents would, like, come, because they would be like, we have to stop this noise!
Not to help you or like, solve the problem just or emotional distress. Just stop the noise.
We used to have this light that was like an alarm that would set off the light. And so I could set off the light by just screaming because my pitch was so high. It sounded like a fire alarm.
Wow.
My son does the high-pitched screaming as well. And yes, when he does that or like pretends to get hurt all the time, you don't go there expecting to help them. You're like, I actually gave him a word to say when he's actually in pain so that I'm like... Like a safe word.
Unsafe word, yeah.
Yeah, just like, if you're actually hurt, say gumballs or whatever. Yeah, it was gumball.
Say pain stick.
Yeah. Pain stick. But no, I was a perfect angel. So.
Yeah, I was the good kid. Like, if my five sisters caused all the problem, like, no, I was the good kid. Yeah, no.
Perfect angel.
Gross.
Like, oh, go to your room and clean your room. If you don't clean your room, you can stay in there all day. Like, okay, I've got a bunch of books in here. I'll just stay in here and read. Like, you got me.
Well, I was a good kid, too, but my mom did actually answer the Facebook question. When it was a little annoying when her son would climb up on the roof and just pour buckets of fake blood into the driveway for his movies.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little annoying. I actually got some looks from the neighbors. The blood-filled driveway.
Nice.
And we got a lot of the usual, like, not eating all their food, climbing up on top of cabinets, dating someone 10 years older than herself. Mm. Probably annoy some parents. I like the one... used to make fun of his dad for watching Star Trek all the time. And then a few years later, when he got more into Star Trek than his dad ever was, it probably annoyed him a little bit. And then our friend Nellie from Valdez said that in junior high and high school, her mom would always go like, oh, you look so cute, before she went off to school. And she'd go, Mom, I don't want to look cute. I want to look cool. And so then later, her mom would start saying in front of everyone, you look so cute. I mean, you look so cool.
Good for her.
I like that story.
I was a perfect angel. My brother was the trouble. Well, when he was very young, he had a lot of tantrums, and my parents didn't hit us, so they had like a water bottle. They sprayed him like a cat.
I've always thought that the water bottle would be pretty effective.
It works pretty good. And they had like the squirter she had looked like a pair of brass knuckles. It was like this one you hold in your hand,
oh.
Just like spraying.
Industrial.
Yeah.
But we were first introduced. We talked a lot about Ambojitsu. We're getting there to the climax, to the Netflix screencast.
Yeah. Finally.
You know, it's a shame there's no Ambojitsu ring nearby.
Really? There is. Deck 12, the gymnasium.
Oh, there is? Oh, well, I mean, 2100 is going to be coming real soon, so any other time I'd meet you down there, but, right
there. You're so lucky my friends are here to hold me back when I take you. Go for it, dude.
I mean, there's a ring. There's also a holodeck.
Yeah. So the Enterprise has the holodeck, but it also has a fencing dojo and an Anbo Jitsu gym. I mean, I know it's the ultimate evolution of martial arts, but still, it seems like some prime real estate.
It's no gun
fu. Didn't they have some other, like, place, too?
Oh, they have phaser range.
Oh, the phaser range.
Yeah. You got racquetball.
Just use the fucking holodeck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got volleyball, sand volleyball courts. And... What do you think of these outfits? What do you think of the Anbu Jitsu?
Could have been worse,
uniforms?
I guess.
Yeah, it could.
I mean, it looked like rollerball to me.
The visors looked a little cheap to me.
Yeah,
the visors
yeah.
looked like made out of like a weird.
I kind of dug the sound they made. Like, yes. They go down so easy, and they made it sound like almost.
It's like the blast shields from Star Wars.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like this line kind of encompassed the whole scene for me.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I am no father, and you're no son. And this fight is all we have left.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming, Marcy. Okay, this is appropriate.
Marcy loves this song.
I love you, son. Oh, no,
God. Yeah, that last bit is like, wait, what? So, I'm glad you came. What?
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about
also, can we go
the resolution of this entire episode during this
evolution
scene.
Of martial arts? Like,
yeah, okay,
Bruce,
you're not done with that yet?
No, because Bruce Lee
Bruce
was like,
motherfucking Lee, everyone.
Was earlier than this, and he was a million times better.
Yeah, but did Bruce Lee practice Anbo Jitsu?
Yeah, but did he have his vision obscured?
Yeah, yeah. Come on. I mean,
probably
I know he fought in a hall
in
of mirrors, but he saw more there.
Did he have a sweet name like Laser or Flame or
I don't know, Bruce
Ice or any of them?
Just saying. Okay, we can talk about the climax now.
Yeah, let's talk about the climax. Let's
talk about them climaxing at each other. Gross.
Whoa!
Marcy, too far. Stop. God, shut your mouth.
I really liked the moment where Papa Wright comes up and he's like, I love you, son. He kind of gives him the tentative pat on the shoulder. I thought that encompassed his character. I was like, I know where you're coming from. I feel your pathos. I understand where Riker's coming from and being pissed off. And like, yeah, we learned that his dad like was cheating with this game that he taught him with. You know, he never let him catch the fucking fish. Let me reel the fish in, Dad.
Right.
So I get all that. I don't
I've
get why.
I've had the exact same experience as that. From Alaska, guys.
Mm-hmm. You have the exact same picture. From the exact same Sears backdrop.
Yep.
57th and Fireweed in Anchorage, Alaska.
Yep,
that's Sears,
exactly.
Right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nerds. And,
but yeah, to go from, I wish you had died and not her, to, ah, gee, this was fun. I'm glad you came. Let's do it again sometime. In less than a minute, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I would have been so much more impressed if they had just had Riker be like, get the hell off my ship. I'm not taking the assignment. Get off the ship right now. Like, that would have been the realistic resolution to
but
this.
What we
it
learned.
Was the resolution just because they fought it out? Like, he just needed to release some testosterone?
He needed violence solves everything.
Apparently so.
That's what we learned.
Certainly solved this.
I mean, obviously, Riker, just this physical contact made him open up, and just saying what he's been thinking for 15 years was enough to, you know, I didn't. It's, yes, it's quick, but thank God it wasn't longer. I wouldn't want to see this scene go on much longer than that.
To undercut the brief moment of feminism they had earlier with Troy, the scene before this is Troy and Pulaski, two women, saying, this is barbaric, this is stupid, why are they doing this? Then we cut to the scene where it 100% works and contradicts everything they just said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and cheating
Deep
is
Space
also...
Nine does it better.
Oh. Is there Anbo Jitsu in Deep Space
no,
Nine?
No, but there's a definitely father-son storyline that they do so much better.
Yeah, just why does Riker forgive him? I don't understand.
It's like, okay.
Like, it's not even, oh, well, they did that bad. It's a, I did not hear a line that would introduce that sort of resolution
not at
to
all.
The scene.
Riker didn't see it his father's way. His father reminds him that she was my wife, and he didn't, until now, Riker didn't think he gave a shit about his wife, but it makes it, you know, he has a couple lines of dialogue that makes it clear that he cared about his wife. It was enough for me, again, because
really?
I want this episode to be over. So, yes, it was enough. I mean, because Riker had been working through it for the whole 12 hours, or whatever it was.
12 like, whole hours.
Okay, well then, my question is, for the next resolution, what about this plot instigates his decision for taking the captain?
He doesn't want to be like his father.
And his father like, would have taken the
His father says, I know he's going to take it because he's like me.
Okay.
And later he says, no, I don't want it. And I could tell that it's because he has come to a place where he doesn't need to compete with his father. He doesn't want to necessarily be just like his father.
The best reason I read anywhere was like, oh yeah, he remembered his name is in the opening credits of the series. It's like, did anybody here seriously think that he was ever going to take.
No, no, but I want to see the conflict. I want to see the tension and the decision.
I mean, it's a shitty ship they're going to put him on. Like, I didn't think it was. I thought it was kind of a hard question to answer.
Well, from the beginning, yeah, they've implied that like he wants the Enterprise. Yeah, right. He could have had a captainship already. He wanted the Enterprise. So like, yeah, again, like they introduced this question that we've already been told the answer to. He wants the Enterprise.
There are two assumptions we can make that aren't necessarily spelled out in the script. One, because the theme is family. He has a family on the Enterprise.
Yes.
He stays because of family. Yeah. And two, he sees Pulaski and his dad left his love, Pulaski, and he wants to stay there for Troy.
And they say address either of those. Those are great, great options.
Yeah.
Or that three, to make the title actually mean anything, in the half hour between the Anbo Jitsu and the end of this episode, the Ares flew too close to his sun and blew.
Well, your decision just got easier, Will.
Yeah, like, wow, good thing you didn't take that 2 hours ago.
I like Rob's version.
No, those are good. They're just not in the script.
Yeah. Not necessarily.
I'm interested in their past more than they discuss it, because what I want to know is Riker is being kind of unreasonable in the sense that he didn't know his mother. You don't remember memories from 2 years old.
No.
And Riker's built it up into this, like, you didn't love your mother, you should have died and she should have lived. Well, actually, it's not about that.
Right.
It's about the things that happened between them and the time between when she died and so, like, I think that is a very interesting thing that they never really address. It kind of, they blow over,
like,
it.
Why did Kyle come to this, like, something happened that he's like, I gotta, it's time.
Oh, it's because he was about to go on a dangerous mission where he was going to die and inhale proton torpedoes.
Or a faraway mission.
Yeah.
That's boring.
And he comes and he's like, I'm offering the olive branch like a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, are you really? Yeah, because you're not. I think all of that's interesting. And I liked it enough. I liked all of the interactions to enjoy this episode. I mean, I loved all going back and forth between all the personal interactions between the crew, because this is what's happening every day. It's not like the, oh, look, we found this alien, the crystal alien that's going to, like, do all these things. It's like, oh, did you hear they're doing an Ambo Jitsu fight? Like, what's going to happen? And that's what I like, is that relationship. They're finally starting to build that idea of family, even though it is kind of sucks at that scene where Worf's laying on the ground and they're like, they all just, like, file out, like, right. Without even note, like, so it's still not quite there yet, but it's building. And so that's why I like this episode.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. They are starting to develop characters.
Finally.
Some good. O'Brien saves this episode entirely for me. Is like, this is when O'Brien starts to become an actual member of the cast.
Right.
And some bad. Like, don't ever get hurt when Pulaski's on the ship.
Oh, yeah. Like, Pulaski.
If you die, it is your fault for not being strong-willed enough.
I'm still not totally anti-Pulaski. Because I know they're trying to make her Bones, and she's a woman, and so I don't want to be like, oh, the woman version. I don't like the woman version of Bones.
Right, yeah.
That's bad. That's problematic.
Well, I didn't even know that she was attempting to be the woman version of Bones.
She's cantankerous, just, and Bones is cantankerous. I mean, just that's the one word that like, describes them both.
The one thing that I like is that she actually challenges Picard in ways that the other characters don't, because she doesn't care that he's the captain. And I think, like, it sort of comes back to the Generations movie where Alfre Woodard is like, they all trust you, so they're not going to question anything you do. And I feel like that's true, is that Picard's kind of becomes this, like, icon that nobody can touch. Yeah. And so I think Pulaski is kind of trying to be that character. She is, like, the one character that sort of goes head-to-head with him. But when she does, she's fucking idiot. Like, and they make her out to be an idiot. Like, maybe if she was actually smart and did her job, like, they tell you that but they don't show you.
She was so bad in the first couple episodes that, like, since then I've been like, she's not that bad. This isn't as bad as she was.
Right.
No, she's not being a horrible human being to Data right now, so it's all
right. Really liked her.
Yeah, but I think my problem is, like, they're showing her deeper character now. It's like, your deeper character is terrible.
So these are the themes of family. There's the father and son dynamic. There's the Klingons and tradition dynamic. Klingons and race. His coming to terms with his race, and then there's the engineer coming to terms with his engines. That's the only tie-in I could come up with. They're all insecure in some way. All three subplots, they are dealing with insecurity based on what they, you know, on their family or what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, when John was going to arrive here, I started getting a little nervous that as an alpha, what if he comes in and he tries to take over the pop? I was like, what if he tries to re-engineer the sound? He's like rearranging the microphones. And Cameron's like, he doesn't need to do that. I brought some pain sticks in case you want to, after this, we could have a show of like,
sounds awesome.
Masculine strength.
Rob, I saw those are pixie sticks.
Well, okay, pixie so, sticks. Yes, they're pixie sticks.
I mean, if
sure.
you hit them in your eye, it hurts. But.
Well, we'll see. We'll see who wins. I'm not sure what the conflict between you and Marcy was going to be.
Oh, I no, thought maybe that was how be. Our relationship started.
Oh, yeah. That would be a funny story to tell.
That would be a great
oh,
story.
Oh, no.
I hated John.
Oh, yeah, no. When we first met, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Fucking John. Trying to take off. Lose. Glory.
Nice. And now you guys tolerate one another.
Yeah. I love John. John is like the sweetest man in the universe. Well, that's Please. The thing, though, is like first impressions, people. Marcy Phillips has learned that first impressions are not the correct impression. Yeah. And you have to give people chances.
Absolutely.
Like Pulaski.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Let's rate the episode, eh? I'd like to rate it in how many daddy issues you. The more daddy issues, the better.
I was going to tell you how many pain sticks I was going to.
Oh, that's cool too. How many zaps with a pain stick?
Yeah. I'd rather do pain sticks.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Sorry, Rob.
No, we could do both. You could be like, I want to be. I have my dad yell at me
yes,
while
exactly.
you combine. Like, I give it three pain
Everyone
sticks and
we'll
four
have to, okay.
spankings. I did actually the second viewing. I didn't. I disliked it the first time. Like I said, I fell asleep during the first time. And in the middle of the second time, I'm just not that into soap operas. And this was definitely, there was music.
Oh,
music
we did
swells.
Not mention the music. Oh, yeah. Oh Jesus Christ. Yeah.
The close-ups, like Pulaski turning to like, she's in the foreground, she turns the camera, and it's just like every shot was straight soap opera. The music swell.
This week on a very special space
Yes,
blossom.
It was a very special Star Trek episode.
But I appreciate it more the second time. I do like just typically these episodes, like all episodes the second time better than I do the first time because I know what to expect and it makes it better. So I'm going to give it just a 5. Daddy issues or five.
I appreciate it more after talking to you guys and making stuff up and then also hearing I think you're definitely right about some of the stuff they were trying to do but I still feel they didn't quite do it. I'm going to say I'd only take 4 pain sticks for this one.
Yeah. Oh,
knowing as much as I know about his future alone, I'm going to give it 6 pain sticks just because Miles O'Brien becomes Miles O'Brien this
There's
episode.
That.
And
There's
he
that.
And this the character they established stays consistent through this series and the next series. Like
Rad.
He gets the O'Brien bump.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Of O'Brien, I'll take 4 pain sticks and a swift kick to the nuts.
There you go.
Nice.
O'Brien's a kick to the nuts.
There you go.
Yeah.
From your father.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. To be clear.
Well, you guys all know that I already described that I really enjoy these kinds of episodes. Mm-hmm. And so when I first watch it, I was like, 10 out of 10. But the
this
second
is no
time.
No measure of a man.
The second time, I feel like it's more of like a 7 out of 10 pain sticks for me. I could.
4, 5, 6, 7. We grouped them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like drama or emotions or feelings. That's all.
I could tell. And the funny thing about this episode is, I guess the director wanted to bring more emotion into this episode, and Roddenberry was like, oh no, we've gotten rid of anger in the future, basically. And so wouldn't let him go deeper into the relationship, really.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I think that's kind of what was missing is like Riker doesn't really emote a lot in this except for like being kind of petulant,
you know?
And so that is actually what was missing because Jonathan Frakes is an amazing actor, and I feel like all the other characters around him were kind of doing really pretty good jobs at the acting part, but his expression doesn't really change throughout the whole episode, and it's basically about him.
You take out the maudlin music, and you just give Riker a reason for accepting his father at the end of the Ambo Jitsu match, that probably would have bumped it up 2 points for me. It's just at the end, I was just like, well, that was a whole lot of like maudlin ass shit for nothing.
Yeah, you right. were so quick to forgive after being so hateful.
Like,
if he had realized, oh, you really are a child and I'm way better than you.
Exactly.
That.
And then if you kicked him off and he didn't need to resolve
it. It's a boy named Sue situation, Riker. I think.
Yeah, it absolutely, yeah.
He did
yeah.
say, like, this made you who you are. And he's like, oh, you cheating at this game did make me who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a boy named Sue.
But anyway, 7 out of 10 for me. I really liked it. I like the soap operas. Rob and I got a division.
I don't know, Marcy. Maybe if you weren't so busy being vibrant all the time.
Vibronicon 5.
Yeah.
Vibronicon.
Nice.
Well, thanks for coming on, John.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Great
Absolutely.
Job.
If you're a fan like John, you should do what he does and go and rate us on iTunes.
Absolutely. It's wonderful for the podcast when you can get more ratings, more people can see it, and it snowballs from there.
Also, hit us up on facebook.com/greenshirt. That's where we post a lot of these community questions you can talk about. I'll post a picture of Riker's sideways comm units.
We'll go live on Facebook with our on Bujitsu. We'll have a, me and John will have a pain stick
absolute fight. Pain stick fight?
Yeah.
Right in the dick! Right in the dick! Oh, we're both dead!
That's a Hachidanka Ritsu. That's illegal!
There's going to be three hits. Me hitting him in the dick while he hits me in the dick, and it's us both hitting the floor at the same time.
And then at GreenShirt87 is our Twitter. And we've got some followers, but we need people to come on there and just like the post. You don't even have to like the post. Just hit the little heart, and that means more people will see them, and it'll help us get the word out.
What's the next episode?
Well, the next episode is Pen Pals.
Pen Pals. Hmm. Does Data find one of those old Earth pins, an antique revolving Earth pin? Yeah. No, one of those pins where, like, with the you can make the top slide off the lady.
Ooh, yeah.
And he becomes obsessed with this topless lady. Yeah, that's what the whole episode is.
Or one of those pens that has, like, multiple colors in the same pen. Where you're like, click, 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 click.
Can't it be both?
Yeah, can. It's the future.
Yeah.
These kind of things can happen.
Maybe she has multiple colored bikinis that will slide off. Data, you dirty
and
dog.
It's all Tasha Yar.
Thanks for coming, John.
Good job.
No problem.
Get ready for the fight.
Yep.
Bye.
I'm ready.
Bye.
Bye.
Stryarian?